Hard-hitting, scintillating discussion. Painstakingly researched, thoroughly provocative opinions. And deep insight when you need it most. Aw, baby, you'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a super secret and sexy location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Seductive Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your host, Jacob Lady Killer Gazelle, and Jeff Big Pimpin' Cheney.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 67, the Valentine's episode. Is that right?
Valentine's episode.
The Valentine's episode?
I think we should call it our sex episode, but then people might get the wrong idea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's the sexiest show of the year.
No.
but you've got Jeff and I pumping that sweet, sweet love right into your ear.
Something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to turn my bass knob up.
No, you're not. Not even close. Welcome. That was Jacob, and I am Jeff, and we are here bringing you the Valentine's Day love of tech.
You're going to need a cigarette after this episode's over, baby. Oh, yeah, you are.
Sure, why not?
I think we are conclusive proof that if there is ever like a anti-sex thing, like, we are it. Like, just bottle it up and put it in a tube, and you can just knock off all those kind of shenanigans.
That's right. Absolutely. Hey, if you would like to call in, we're always looking for your feedback at 317-643-1212. Call, leave us a voicemail message, talk to a computer like God intended, and let us know what you're thinking. We're looking for subscribers for our newsletter. That's a nobettershow.com/join. We promise we will not share any information that you give us, even with each other. If you would like to support the show, head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/nobettershow. We're always happy to take your Maserati.
That's right. Or that new NSX, Acura NSX that was just premiered at the Bowl of Super.
I will even take the Audi R8 that they...
Okay, so we could talk about the commercials, and we're not spoiling anything, because you didn't see the big game, well, good for you. You don't sports ball either out there, people. But so I was racking my brain during that Audi commercial thinking, what astronaut did they get? This is kind of patronizing. It's not a real astronaut.
No, it's not a real astronaut. No real astronaut would do that.
But we actually have people who actually have gone to the moon. Yeah, they could have actually done
more. Who have more dignity than to be on that commercial.
Fair.
Pretending like a car's going to make any...
But they could have totally taken that commercial a different way and been all like Audi to the moon, and they could have done real sentimental with a real gosh darn astronaut who's been to the real moon.
Audi would go to the moon, but it would just pollute the shit out of it on the way.
I feel like the MPGTM, that's miles per gallon to the moon, are pretty
so
bad.
Good. Yeah, not so good, probably.
No, but
I don't know,
you're
coasting a lot. Just saying.
It's
a
whole bunch
of energy up front, but then there's a lot of coasting.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of acceleration at the beginning, and then just a whole lot of sitting back and waiting. But I wanted that to be a better commercial than that. But I'll take an R8.
Really got down to it, what the miles per gallon, I mean, because you could calculate that out, right?
Well, yeah, they used a friggin' Saturn V.
I know, but I mean, like, you could probably figure out how much energy they expend versus the distance that they travel.
Yeah, you could, or someone else who is far smarter than me.
I was going to say, not me. I bet somebody out there could. If there's a listener out there that wants to figure out,
I feel like calculus is involved. Yeah. Yes, that is a call to our listeners. There is some nerdy listener out there. What is the delta V to get an Audi R8 off the planet into the moon? Because it can't be that much. The Audi doesn't weigh that much, but it would need to drag like a super tanker worth of fuel behind it. So you got to take that into the account for the weight.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway,
Yeah, so another week gone by.
Yeah, this is actually kind of a big week depending on when you're listening to it, because we've got Valentine's Day coming up. We've got Fat Tuesday. This episode is coming out on Fat Tuesday, the fattest of all Tuesdays. We have the next primary.
You know, I kind of feel like we're letting the listeners down. We're not nearly as fat this Tuesday
that is
as
true.
We were last Tuesday.
That is true, but like combined, I feel like we're still above average.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go with well above average, but not nearly as much above average as we were a year ago.
That's true, but I feel like the people who don't download this on Tuesday are gonna be like, why are these guys so excited? Because nothing's happening.
I kind of feel like we've probably lost a good sized human being amongst the two of us, have we not?
I would think so. I would have to go look at my notes to find out what I'm down officially, but I think you said 50 pounds a couple episodes ago, and I'm down, depending on if you look at my highest weight ever or just my post or pre-surgery weight, I'm down almost 100 from pre-surgery. So, I mean, a sizable person.
A sizable human being.
Yes.
Is just gone. Maybe that's why the show has gone downhill. per pound.
It was three of us, and now it's just the two of us.
Now it's just the two of us. Or just the 2 1/4 of us. Before it was 3 1/2. Now it's 2 1/4.
As long as I'm getting that Charlie Sheen money, I will be 3 1/2. But I'm going to need the $100 million a season or whatever he was making.
Yeah, I would not hold my breath on that. So you got any fun and exciting news outside of what we're going to talk about tonight? Tore down any walls? Dug any trenches? Buried any bodies, you know, whatever.
No, our home renovation project is wrapping up. We are mudding, finishing the drywall mudding, which it's amazing when you stop taking time off how slow renovation becomes. Like, I get why those renovation reality shows say that, you know, their original 3-week goal and budget was complete horse puckies because it took them 7 months and 15 times their budget, because I feel like every time we leave the house, we are at a hardware store spending money. We just went and spent, I don't know, like $350 on lights, and I just put up new light fixtures, and it's ridiculous. Never undertake anything, people. It is going to bankrupt you, probably wreck your marriage, and your house is going to look like, I don't know, Syria or something like that. I cannot recommend not doing it enough. And I will be so happy when it's done, because then I get to start another project. Yay!
That's not really fun at all. What?
Yeah, we're gonna put floors in. That's why we're doing all this renovation, so we can put floors in.
I forgot. You got to put the floors in.
Well, and technically we got to paint before we put the floors in, so immediately we get to transition into paint the whole house and then put floors in.
Wow.
It'll be nice when it's done, right in time for us to put it on the market and move and do it all over again. But these people don't want to hear about my renovation woes. They want to hear about tech stuff, I think. They keep tuning in for some reason week after week. At least one or two of them does.
So I have a total non-tech story.
I think that is the most appropriate thing for a technology-oriented podcast. So let's hear it.
That's right. Did you check out the first non-nude Playboy?
You know, I heard that the first non-nude was just published, but that is all I know about it. I couldn't tell you anything about it or who it was for or nothing.
Yes, after 62 years in print, the first non-nude Playboy came out.
Which, I mean, let's face it, I mean, internet. You don't need a nude Playboy anymore. No. And now you can actually say, and maybe somewhat mean it with a straight face, that you read it for the articles? Maybe?
I just glanced at it. It's Maxim-esque in risque-ness.
Yeah.
I'm assuming still
scantily clad attractive still ladies.
A very attractive, scantily clad. The cover girl was Sarah McDaniel.
Okay.
She is a Snapchat star.
Well, of course she is.
But, you know, she's very attractive, skinny, young person.
So do they still have a centerfold just clothed now?
Yes. Yeah.
So all they did was put clothes on the young ladies.
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand really the thought process. Like I could get it if they said, you know what, you can see all of the T&A you want on the internet. We're just going to take the girls out, just rip them out, and it's going to be nothing but articles.
They did not do that.
But they're just like, well, we're going to put girls in it. They're just going to have clothes. Like, what are they gaining?
Sarah has the striking I forget what it's called, but she has one brown eye and one blue eye.
Oh, like dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like a Siberian husky.
She's like a Siberian husky.
Much skinnier and prettier.
But oddly enough, just as hairy. Somewhere there's a furry who's really excited about this. I'm just confused by that, because does that mean it's going to become socially acceptable to sit on an airplane and read Playboy?
Yes.
Would you sit on an airplane and read Maxim?
Yeah.
Well, you're, I guess, more antisocial than me. I feel like that would be very uncomfortable. I wouldn't do that.
Really?
I wouldn't.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like to me, like, I don't know. If you glance through the magazine, I would say it's still pushing the boundaries of not showing anything, but it's not showing anything.
Huh. Yeah, well, I was a subscriber for a long time. I really did like the articles, but I don't know.
Articles are still pretty good. Yeah. I mean, they have some good fiction in it this month, so that's always good.
Are you a subscriber? Did you actually read the
No, I just
magazine?
happened to go out. I went to a place, a bookstore, one of those things. And just because now it's not all sealed
up. They
just
put it out in the open.
Yeah.
Well, but a lot of those bookstores, those Maxims and Cosmos and et cetera, are covered behind like the cardboard. So people, they still don't have them technically on display. Is that the case at the bookseller that you went?
No. Huh? They were just out.
Well, you live in a liberal college town, you hippie.
I do.
You're probably going to vote for Bernie Sanders tomorrow.
I am not going to vote for Bernie Sanders
today,
ever.
Whatever day it is. But don't worry, because the mock election has said he's still going to be our next president. So you are safe. You don't have to vote for him, and you still get everything that he has to offer.
You know, can I vote for none of the above? Is that an option?
I don't know. So that was not tech. Let's talk tech. I saw this interesting thing that is hideous. there is a company out there that is bringing out, and it's the first one that I've seen. It is a battery case for an iPhone 6 or 6S. They are also going to be releasing it for the Galaxy 6S, but it is not just a battery case. No, no. It is also a cell phone boosting case.
Of course it is.
So it was an Indiegogo campaign.
It's also the most hideous thing I've ever seen.
It's not the most hideous, but
it's one of the most.
Okay, so it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Satellite of Love. It kind of has a bit of a dog bone shape to it. I don't know if that is by design or by necessity. But it was an Indiegogo campaign, and they hit 546% of their funding. So it packs in a 3,000 milliamp battery, but it also has an active signal booster. It has circuitry built in that actually gets the CDMA or the LTE or the GSM signal and boosts it and hands it off to the phone. And they say that this active circuitry will add about 2 bars of signal strength to the network, or signal strength from the network that is available. They say it works across all carrier frequencies, 2G, 3G, 4G, LTE, for all carriers, whether it's GSM or CDMA. It is called the MJuice, which is a terrible name. Apparently, it is going to be available in March for iPhone 6 phones, 6, 6S, 6 Plus, and 6S Plus. And it is currently in the final stages of Apple accreditation, which makes it sound like it's going to college or something like that. It's getting its accreditation. And there's a version for Samsung's Galaxy S6, the S6 and the S6 Edge, which is going to arrive a little bit later this year. And they're expecting pricing
just in time for it to be totally out of date, because the Galaxy S7 comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, by that argument, the iPhone 7 will be out in just a few months, or at least announced, and then nobody's going to buy an iPhone. But the thing that surprised me is that they are expecting retail pricing to be $149.99, so not so terrible, especially when you consider like the Apple battery case is $99, and I think that some of those other battery cases are in the $30 to $70 price range, depending on what you get. And, you know, like where I live, the cell service just isn't that great. I got a text message a few weeks ago from AT&T saying, we've put up all sorts of new towers and you should see great new service. And yeah, nothing. I still get 1 dot, maybe 2 if I'm lucky. So, you know, some sort of an active boost thing might not be a bad thing for me. Now, just make the case a little less hideous and we'll talk. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. And another one I think is very interesting. I don't know if you saw this one, Jeff. Griffin, the accessory maker Griffin, has a what they are calling break-safe magnetic USB-C power cable. It is basically they have, you know, ripped off Apple's MagSafe connector, and they have got a USB-C dongle that is attached to the cable magnetically.
That's cool.
Yeah, so if you plug in your expensive laptop and some oaf lumbers by and trips over the cord while you are enjoying your half-calf soy, no-foam, skinny vanilla latte, it's just going to go poink, and the little cable will pop off, and the dongle piece will stay safely attached to your laptop, and your laptop will stay safely on top of that Starbucks counter, and you won't even know it. And surprisingly, it's only going to be $40. So, I mean, it's certainly more pricey than just a regular USB cable. But that little magnetic coupling thing, they're not going to charge as much for it as I thought they were. I mean, if this was an Apple product, it'd be $99.95 or
of course
something like that. But I thought that was a really cool one.
That is cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you've got any quickies on your list.
It's not. Yeah, I actually do. There was one that I thought was interesting just because we could take as much time or as little time as you want to talk about it. The article was actually entitled Five Future Smartphone Technologies.
Ooh.
And a couple of them I thought were kind of interesting. One is retina scanning. Apparently the next new thing for security on your phone, instead of using a fingerprint, is doing retina scanning.
Okay.
Everyone's retina is different, just like their fingerprint. And supposedly, it's reported that the Fujitsu Aero NX-FO4.
Oh, not the NX-FO4.
That one. That's the one. Is going to be coming out and have iris scanning for unlocking their smartphone.
Is that a phone, or is that the like an image sensor chip?
No, that's the phone. It's not released in the United States yet. So that was one of the things. One of them was that your storage is going to go away, which I'm not sure that's really true.
So everything in the cloud?
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy that one.
I mean, how are you going to do that in real time with photos and video? I don't
buy it either. The one that I did think that was interesting, University of Texas engineers have developed a highly accurate GPS system that will get cell phone GPS to the nearest centimeter.
Holy cow. I didn't even know you could do that with GPS.
Says that it's highly accurate and increases the effectiveness 100-fold without using any more power.
Wow.
So
now the NSA will be able to drop that bomb precisely on your location.
So I thought that one was interesting. Another one is the ability to turn any surface into a touchscreen using dual cameras, they're saying,
okay,
which is a rumor for the upcoming iPhone 7, that they can basically watch where your fingers touch anything and turn that into a quote-unquote touchscreen.
But, I mean, you couldn't touch type on something that wasn't there, could you?
Well,
like, what's the application for that?
I don't know. I'm just making a keyboard on the table. I don't know.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I just read the articles, man. Thought it was interesting.
We're supposed to be providing deep insight to these people.
I don't do that ever. No, so, I mean, I don't know that there's much. I mean, like I said, I think the GPS, that would obviously have some benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Iris one, it kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit. And the only reason I say that is because Samsung back in, was it the Galaxy S4, was trying really hard to promote face unlock.
Yeah.
And I think Google even baked face unlocked into the operating system.
It was so slow. The key is that it has to be fast. Whatever they do, if it's retina, if it's fingerprints, the thing that makes the fingerprints so useful is how fast it is.
Right, right. And I'm just curious if people will still have that. I don't want to use my face. I mean, I don't know. I've never used retina scanners.
You know, the biggest thing to me that we're going to see in phones is, you know, the added power of processing capabilities with not as much power consumption. Because I think ultimately, you know, augmented reality, virtual reality is probably where we're headed for
maybe
lots of things. I think so. I think especially augmented reality has some benefits. I mean, Google Glass was clunky and not very effective and didn't really do much. But I think ultimately it was one of those things where, you know, 20 years from now, we're going to be going, well, that was the first step.
Right.
Because I can really see some big benefits for that. But yeah, anyway.
And you still have to strap your glasses to your face.
Well, do you though? Because, you know, as they make things smaller and smaller, I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe they have contacts. Maybe.
Well, now that would be cool. And certainly the way that science fiction has gone with, you know, things implanted directly into your brain or like a contact lens that provides a HUD or something like that. I could get behind that. And,
yeah.
You know, in fact, I will be a guinea pig science. If you want to put a contact lens and implant data right onto my retina, I will be your patient X. Like, sign me up. Because it's either going to be really cool or it's going to give me mutant superpowers, which I will use for evil. Just, I am putting it out there. There's going to be no question who's the bad guy when I get superpowers. It's going to be me. I am going to be the Kilgrave.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So I know this week we promised, or I promised last week, to talk a little bit about some rumors around the Galaxy S7.
Ooh, yes.
We have the Unpacked event coming on February 21st, so we don't really have that much longer to wait, but I wanted to go over a few of the rumors that we're hearing. Everything that I have seen so far is saying that the sizes are going to be the same, that you're going to have the Galaxy S7 and then the Galaxy S7 Edge, which will be slightly larger, just okay. Like the S6 and the S6 Edge.
And it's going to have that weird wraparound edge screen?
The Edge one, well, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those live in the wild? I have not.
They're nice, actually.
Are they? Because the 6 is actually a well-built phone.
Yeah, the only downside on the Edge that I see is there's really no good cases.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. And
one of my coworkers has one, and it's kind of nice. I mean, you know,
okay.
It's well built, and you know, they're saying that the design cues are going to be basically the same. They're going to be, you know, aluminum with glass, and rumors are gold, white, silver, and navy.
Ooh, I kind of like the sound of navy.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting that they will have a micro SD card slot.
Okay. Well, which they got away from in the 6,
they got away from
they?
On the 6, but supposedly they're going back to that.
So has Google backed off of that? Because wasn't it Google that really wanted the micro SD and removable storage removed from Android?
Yes. But Google has backed away from that in that.
Okay.
Now, there's only certain things you can use it for. So you cannot store applications.
Right. But like
on
photos,
the SD
memories,
cards, but photos.
Like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Some of the biggest rumors are around the camera, that it will be a 12 megapixel camera, but with larger pixels.
Okay.
So that's actually, I believe, a step backwards as far as the number of megapixels.
But megapixels are only part of the story.
That is true. One of the big things, possibly an F1.5 optically stabilized lens.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. Couple that with some big image sensors and get that light in there. Ooh.
That could be pretty big.
Yeah, it could.
Replaceable battery is a possibility, which, again, they got away from. So
yeah,
that could be or could not be true, but interesting.
And listeners, if there are listeners out there that have a phone with a replaceable battery, I want to hear from you. Do you actually carry multiple batteries and replace them? Because I feel like unless you are just like Johnny superhero sales guy who's constantly on the go, you'd plug in or carry a battery case. And even if you are Johnny superhero sales guy constantly on the go, you're probably in a car.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if people truly carry multiple batteries anymore, even on phones that support it.
I don't think so. But
I'd love to hear from you. And I'd love to hear like why. Like, help me understand. I'm not calling you out or making fun. I'm genuinely curious.
Yep. It's supposedly going to have the Exynos 8 Octa chip, which is a Samsung homegrown system on a chip, 64-bit based ARM V8 architecture with a 30% improvement in performance and a 10% power improvement over the previous Exynos 7 Octa chip.
Which means that they'll make it another few millimeters thinner and kill battery life.
Maybe. You know, they're saying battery life will likely be the same and that Samsung is likely going to have a similar trade-in program as Apple did, released in their last phone, that they'll have some sort of upgrade program similar to the Apple that is all through Samsung rather than through the carrier.
You know, if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense because companies that are making $700, $800, $1,000 flagship phones have got to be terrified when you can go pick up a $300 phone that does everything just as well and the material design and the build quality is starting to creep up on those flagship phones. So if you've got lock-in because, oh, I'll just turn it back in and I'll get the next one. I mean, that's brilliant. I think Apple really fired the first salvo, I think with this, was it the 6S that they had that, you know, lease it through us program, we'll take care of everything. And you just turn it in every year and get a new one. And I mean, that's something that I think Samsung has to do. And I'm curious if anybody else has enough, you know, oomph to do that, or if everybody else is just picking up the scraps between what Apple and Samsung don't have. I got to imagine between the two of them, that's probably at least 60-70% of the market, right?
Yes.
So that's interesting. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, but that's kind of cool.
So that's what I have so far. Next week we can probably, 2 weeks from now, we can be talking about what it really came out with. So
cool.
I don't know that it will be enough for me to swing back to Android. I'm really enjoying the Apple ecosystem, especially with most of the rest of my family on it as well. But you never know. Stranger things have happened.
That's the thing. Like when you start to build a network of people who are all on one platform, it makes it so much harder to be the odd man out. And yeah, I mean, my network of Apple friends is fairly small, but you know, you just get, you know, the way that they all integrate and play nice together is so nice. And you know, like sending family texts to everybody who has iDevices, very painless. But as soon as you loop in, you know, that wacko sibling that doesn't, it's like, ah, everything sucks. And text messages come out of order and stupid stuff like that. And yeah, I think there's something to say for that lock-in. If you know, once you're locked in, you've got to need a really compelling reason to get out of a particular vendor's ecosystem.
Yep. Let's see. I have a couple other short and sweet ones.
Okay.
Or what will probably be short and sweet. Did you see that Tesla has already now announced their second generation of the Powerwall coming soon? By soon, I mean July or August.
Yeah. Have they even like rolled a first edition Powerwall out yet?
Yes. The first editions have been shipping. They're still back ordered until June, I believe.
Just in time to get it installed, and we've got a brand new one.
That's right. They're saying there's just going to be moderate improvements over the previous version, that they'll offer a 7-kilowatt version kilowatt hour version that's more for solar panel owners, and a 10-kilowatt version that is more aimed at backup type power.
Like that capable. Whole house UPS kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very intriguing. I had seen a headline, but I guess I didn't read it and know that's what it was. But I thought maybe they were finally starting to get them rolled out. I hadn't heard anything more after the big announcement last year that you could sign up for it.
I don't know if you still listen to any of the Leo Laporte's podcast, but he has...
I do when I have time.
He has his Powerwall installed already.
Well, of course he does. You know, it's nice to be a VIP.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's still on the waiting list for the X. He's saying sometime this month or next, I think, is what they're saying for his Model X.
Oh, poor baby. In the meantime, he's just going to have to drive around his,
Audi?
He bought? His Audi, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel so bad for Leo.
I don't feel bad for him, but I'm also not going to, I mean, good on him.
I guess.
He works. You know, he worked hard to make that money.
And that's where I have a problem because, Jeff, I do not want to work all that hard, but I want all of those nice things that hard work brings.
Yeah, well, I think that the key is he worked really, really hard.
Darn it. All right. Well, I'm just not going to have these nice things.
Yeah. And finally, what did you think about Microsoft acquiring SwiftKey?
Well, interesting. And I don't know how I feel about this. And I've always loved, when I was on Android, I loved SwiftKey. And I wanted to love SwiftKey on iOS, but I don't know if it's SwiftKey's problem or iOS's problem, but it's buggy. And I tried version after version where I read, no, no, this time we got all the bugs worked out. It's going to be great. And it's never been perfect. And so I am back to not using SwiftKey, but I've always loved it. It worked. The predictiveness works so well. And now Microsoft owns all of that. And the scary thing is SwiftKey pipes all of the things that you type back to their servers so that they can learn about you so that they can make the predictiveness work well. Now, obviously, if you're going to trust SwiftKey, you probably are okay trusting Microsoft, but there is a huge cache of my data now that I don't have any control over that Microsoft is going to own, and it's pretty private. Like, you give it access to your Gmail account, you give it access to your Facebook, you give it access to your Twitter, so that it can learn how you talk and the words
learns,
and phrases.
Learns how to spell your wife's name, learns how to spell your girlfriend's name.
And hopefully the two of them don't ever meet.
That's right.
And the like I said, it's scary because I don't have a way now to recall that data. But, you know, I mean, obviously Microsoft, I feel pretty comfortable with as far as a company having the data. I did see an article and I did not dive deep into it because, you know, that's just what I do. I don't look beyond the surface, where some tech geek nerd researcher guy had discovered that the data that was being sent back to Microsoft was not encrypted. It was clear text. And so that is a little scary. Now, I don't know if that is true of how SwiftKey was working when it was owned by SwiftKey or not, but that's definitely something to be a little concerned about and maybe look into if you are a SwiftKey user to make sure all of your typings and datas are not being flung across the internet unencrypted. So definitely, I will leave it as an exercise to you to actually do my job for me and look up that information. Do you know more about it than that, Jeff? Because I'm talking totally out of my butt.
No, I mean, just basically, they spent $250 million.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Allegedly.
That's a lot of alleged dollars.
That is.
Wow.
So I don't know what they're thinking, you know, the benefit of that is. I mean, you know, it says, you know, I mean,
it gets Microsoft onto a lot of phones.
That's true. That's true. But, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what that gives them. I mean, predictive technology, I guess, is important. Does that help them in, you know, their Cortana? I don't know. I don't know that I understand. I mean, they've made a lot of plays for some companies like Wunderlist and Sunrise. And mm-hmm. I mean, so I assume this is along those same lines. But
well, their Outlook email app is a company that they bought.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the play is there, but I loved SwiftKey very much on Android. I try to love it on Apple. It's just not great. And I think the biggest problem, and it's Apple trying to protect us from ourselves, I think, a little bit. I think where the bugs lie, because I keep trying. Like, I have it installed right now, and I'm trying to use it right now. And where it gets confused is anytime you're going to enter a password.
Right.
Apple makes you go back to the default keyboard because they don't want a third-party keyboard capturing password information, which, hey, good on Apple for protecting us from ourselves, right?
Yeah, but the average user doesn't know why their keyboard just switched.
Right. And it doesn't switch back effectively. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And if it automatically switched back and that's all you ever noticed, you'd be like, yeah, that was weird, and you'd go about your day. But what I've noticed is that, you know, like 60% of the time it switches back to SwiftKey, and then 40% of the time it just stays on the default Apple keyboard, and I forget, and I'm using the default Apple keyboard.
Why does my keyboard suck so much?
The Apple keyboard doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't, but it's not as nice as SwiftKey.
It is not. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And then the other downside is switching back and forth between emojis and the SwiftKey keyboard is a pain in the butt.
It is, and Apple doesn't expose their voice-to-text API,
correct.
So you can't hit a button and just start talking to your phone. There's a lot of disadvantages.
So, you know, I wish Apple would open it up even more in what it, especially the voice. They need to allow there to be a button that they can get to that voice to text because that's extremely powerful and useful. But yeah, I mean, I guess good on Microsoft for trying. I don't know. I mean, is this more just Microsoft gobbling companies up? I mean, was kind of their MO in the 90s too. So I don't know if this is their play into mobile is just gobbling up
by everybody
successful companies and
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Microsoft is doing a lot of good things right now at the enterprise level, but they seem very haphazard on the consumer level. And I mean, you know, Windows Phone is still stagnant. I mean, it's not even really a third choice, effectively.
No, it's not. We're to two choices at this point, for all intents and purposes. I know there are other choices out there, but let's face it, those are fringe cases.
Right.
I mean, and BlackBerry's fringe, you know, Windows is fringe. It's basically Android or Apple.
So I don't know what their play is. I don't know if it's to get on a bunch of Android phones, because I know Android, I mean, SwiftKey has huge penetration to Android.
Know, I will say that Microsoft's, you know, their Office suite on iOS is amazing. Yeah,
it gets reviews.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. And the Outlook mail client is top-notch, which is, again, another one that they bought. And Sunrise is what I used before they mm-hmm. got bought. And now I just use the Outlook because they kind of rolled it into that. I guess they're playing in other arenas, which is probably a good idea because, well, of course, Windows Phone doesn't exist anymore, right? As far as Microsoft concerns, it's just Windows 10 everywhere.
Right, but they have to get it out everywhere, and yeah, you know, there's lots of phones out there that aren't going to get upgraded, or an indeterminate upgrade cycle. A coworker has a phone that's kind of in that status where, you know, it's he doesn't know when or if he'll get the latest and greatest, and yeah, there's lots of question marks there. So I don't know what their play is. I hope that Satya Nadella has a game plan, and it's just not obvious to us mouth breathers, but I just don't understand it. Now, the flip side of that is Microsoft still has a gob-awful lot of cash, and they can afford to buy companies for $250 million, which is a lot of money to us mere mortals. But I mean, let's face it, to Microsoft, that's, you know, pocket change almost.
It is. Absolutely.
I mean, $250 million. I think we've got that sitting behind my credenza. Let me just dig around for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I saw an interesting article, and I know that you have been an advocate for publicization, if that's a word, publifying.
I knew you were going to go this route. I do. I think that this is something that should happen.
And so, obviously, that is a pretty extreme position. And I'm not going
Me
to
me and Bernie, man, you a and socialist. Bernie. We got to stick together.
And because he's going to win the election, according to the mock election, you might be right there. And I know that we have listeners who are rabidly opposed to that idea. I don't know how I feel about it personally. I think, you know, I can see pros and cons, but anyway, so the article headline was a bit clickbaity. It was Google rolling out free gigabit internet in public housing, but it actually was talking not so much about Google exclusively, but just about this initiative that the White House has come to technology companies and said, you know, we can do better, and it, you know, it's not right that the lowest in society don't have equal access to this technology that, you know, the middle class and the upper class have. So in Kansas, now Google has stepped up in a big way. So in Kansas, low-income residents will be able to get the service for free, Google Fiber. They are hooking up homes in fiber neighborhoods as part of their pledge to the White House's Connect Home initiative. Homes that qualify where there are school-age kids will be able to get gigabit internet at no cost, free. Now, the downside is Google's Fiber VP Dennis Kish just said that they've wired 100 homes with fiber, and families can sign up today. So that's not very many. But they're not the only game in town that's doing this, and they are planning on expanding in all of their fiber cities. This program, Sprint is offering free wireless broadband. Seattle's Liberty Broadband is offering internet access for $10 a month. And Comcast has a program called Essentials, which gets 10 megabits of internet for $10 a month. So Google is by far and away the fastest, but they're probably the most limited, whereas there are close to 500,000 homes on Comcast's Essentials service already. Google has promised that they will have up to 1,300 homes connected in Kansas City and are going to be rolling out the service in all of their current and future fiber cities, which is 9 locations currently. You know, so one of the things that they pointed out in this article is that we have the United States has some of the most expensive broadband in the world, and we lag far behind other countries in internet speed. And I actually have an article to talk about that, too, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And it says, for families in affordable housing, costs can be one of the biggest barriers to getting online. This program can mean more children using computers in after-school programs and STEM classes, more students going online to finish their homework, and more people taking advantage of resources like the Khan Academy. So if you're not familiar with what the Khan Academy is, it's basically like a high school and college set of math, and they've expanded way beyond just math. I don't know the extent of it, but
does it have rich Corinthian leather?
It does not have rich Corinthian leather, but they are amazing classes. This guy Sal Khan, who founded it, basically said, there should be a way for people who don't understand this to learn it. And so he started putting videos up, and I think that they've got like several thousand videos now, and they are amazing. Like I never really grokked calculus, and I've watched some Khan Academy videos on calculus, and it like actually presents it in a way that makes it understandable. And I still am not going to sit down and do integrals and, you know, derive anything, but like I get the concepts way better now than I ever did in school. And all of that's available free.
You know, there was a time I really understood calculus.
And now you can't even calculate how to get an Audi to the moon.
No. But there was a time in my life that calculus was easy.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the calculus. I remember calculus being...
There was a time I remember a lot of things being a lot easier than they are once you're middle-aged.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. It's one of those things where if you don't use it, right? I mean, I haven't used calculus in we won't talk about how long it's been, but it's been a long time, Jacob.
You know, I am still trying to understand why I would have ever needed the quadratic equation in real life. I have never had to solve for a polynomial. I think it is an absolute sham that teachers drill that into you and make you sit and solve page after page of quadratic equations. It is bumpkus for 99.9% of people out there.
I agree. It is.
So I'm just saying. But if you are like me and you're like, I went through it, I remember it, but I don't know anything about it, you can go and watch a couple of videos on integrals, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's what an integral is. I get it now. So, yeah, I mean, having
that's
access.
Something that's really important to the storyline.
It is. An integral and a protagonal.
Sorry.
Yes. But, I mean, it is amazing. And if you've got a kid who wouldn't otherwise have access to that, I mean, I think it is a no-brainer. And I think that this is kind of a compromise between, you know, maybe Jeff's more radical approach of make it free and give it to everybody and other people's approach of screw all of the poor people. I think that this is kind of a good middle ground. And I was excited to see it. I think that's pretty cool. And and to kind of roll into just how bad things are in America, in Merca, I also saw a report
about how slow our internet is.
Well, not specifically just our internet, but our wireless internet, which our internet does not fare much better.
No, it does not.
So there was a report just out, and it ranked the United States 55th worldwide.
Woo-hoo,
in LTE
55.
Speeds. That's
Wait,
right.
What?
We're number 55. We're number what?
Well, how many countries are there? Like that's
well,
like.
Countries, there's like 189, 206, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
but, okay,
geography
countries
good.
With LTE.
Yeah, 56.
57, maybe?
not that many.
No.
So apparently, if you want fast 4G, you need to live in Singapore, New Zealand, or Hungary. But more importantly, you should definitely not live in the United States. So this
it could be worse. You could live in Iran.
You could. Which is... It's Which possible, is, well, might be beating us, actually.
No, it says the worst networks are in Costa Rica, Saudi Arabia, and Iran.
Oh, I didn't even read far enough down in my own notes.
It's like, so we have that going for us.
We do.
We're above Iran, but we're below Russia. So what's up with that?
We're better than Costa Rica. Screw you, Costa Rica.
Somewhere the ghost of Ronald Reagan is just having a conniption fit that we are slower than Russia. Really? People?
But just below Russia. So to be fair, it's not like Russia's like number 5 and we're 55. So the comrades are just beating us out. It's not, they're not killing us. But so apparently we pull on average just a paltry 10 megabits per second. Whereas Singapore boasts an average speed of 37 megabits per second, New Zealand 29 megabits per second, and Hungary 28. And as you mentioned, Jeff, Costa Rica, Saudi Arabia, and Iran all average about 3 megabits. So when we say we're worse, we're not that much better. I mean, you know, when we say they're worse, they're not that much worse than us. I mean, just a little bit. We do one thing well, though, coverage, apparently. So we rank 7th in the world, providing LTE to 81% of those who try and connect, which if you have T-Mobile, the try is the operative word there, which is pretty impressive if you consider our geographical size compared to a lot of countries. I mean, how big is Hungary? How big is, you know, Singapore compared to the United States? They're just a little dot. Compared to our landmass. But the thing that surprised me the most is you hear about South Korea all the time. They're cellular, they're, you know, wired, they're broadband, and they were 4th with an average speed of just 27 megabits per second. And the other one that really caught me off guard was Japan, which I kind of figured would be, you know, kind of right there in that, you know, Singapore, South Korea triangle. They're way down on the list. They beat us, but just barely, with an average 12 megabits per second on their LTE. So, come on, USA, you could do better than that. We can demand better from our carriers. We can do better somehow.
I will say that I get well above 10 all the time. Like, I pretty much consistently get 20.
I don't test my LTE all that awful much, so I can't say what I'm getting consistently, but I feel like 10 is probably, as an average, yeah, not bad. Like, I'm sitting here at my home, and I have one bar, and my LTE hasn't even loaded the speed test yet. So
where do you live?
Apparently I live in a bunker deep in America's heartland from a secret location.
Because I have 4 bars of LTE in down pretty near Kentucky where I live.
Well, I knew I shouldn't have built this subterranean lair. Damn my evil way planning. So I'm testing it right now and I just got 0.84 megabits. Download.
And well, see, yeah, you're bringing the average between you and me is really right at 10.
It down. But surprisingly,
I got 22 down.
Surprisingly, I'm getting over 2 megabit upload, so I can send out my pictures real fast. Like, I just can't get them. And then the ridiculous thing is, I switch over to my cable internet, and it is blazing, blistering fast. Last time I tested, I was getting like 130 megabits, so sure. much better.
Absolutely.
Come on, give us better speeds.
So, hey, another non-tech story, but I just wanted to, you know, play the little sad violins and maybe have some taps in the background. But I don't know if you saw, and I don't know if you care, and I'm pretty sure most people don't, but Scion is dead.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, Toyota is killing Scion.
Like, just because it wasn't selling well, or because they were dumb boxy designs?
It wasn't selling well, mostly. It was just kind of a failed experiment to try to get a youthful, brand out there that just didn't work out very well. I think it's kind of sad because, you know, I hate to see them shutting down fun. Because, I mean, that's kind of what Scion was supposed to be, the fun brand, you know?
They're about, 10 years, right? They got about 10 years?
Yeah.
So, you know, interesting you say it's supposed to be the young, fun brand, because my mom bought a Scion when she turned like 60. And the only people I ever saw driving Scions were retirees for the most part.
Well,
so I think they kind of swung and missed at that whole youth market.
That could be. So, yeah, I thought it was kind of sad.
I hadn't seen that news.
I don't like to see anyone failing. So, you know.
But if someone had to fail, it should have been Scion.
They were the hamsters, right? No.
Who is the hamsters?
That's
Kia. I like the hamsters. Bring the hamsters back. That's the extent of my car buying. I'll buy the one with the hamsters. That was cute.
That's great.
They made LMFAO's career, didn't they?
They did, actually. Yeah. Sorry for party rocking.
Hey, it was a catchy song.
It was.
2006 was such a crazy year. I saw this story I thought was interesting. So apparently GoPro is in some financial trouble, and they are taking steps to slim down their lineup to try and save themselves. Apparently,
I predict they do not save themselves.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So their revenue and stock prices are falling off a cliff, and analysts are saying it is due to their most recent quarterly results, which are, to put it gently, deep underwater like a GoPro camera. So, you know, company financials are usually not something very interesting, but apparently they just announced revenues of the past quarter of $436 million, a loss of $34 million, which to me seems like not that much money for a quarter, but their forecast for next quarter is only $160 million. So, I mean, that is a precipitous slide in the wrong direction.
It is a commodity purchase now, though. I mean, right. There are so many Chinese clones, and GoPro has done nothing to differentiate themselves as a brand. And, you know, quality-wise, they're not, you know, those cheap, quote-unquote, cheap Chinese knockoffs are just as good.
Right.
And people are not going to pay the extra money for the GoPro brand, and I just kind of feel like they have not done well enough differentiating their brand.
They haven't, and it's interesting because, I mean, they really kind of invented the category of action cameras. And, you know, not that many years ago, when you saw a shot of something extreme, it was GoPro. Sure.
Absolutely.
So they are going to be cutting their line in half. They are launching a drone this year. It is called the Karma, and I guess they have a new GoPro model coming out. I don't know exactly when, but sometime this year, called the Hero 5. So apparently they are betting heavily on autonomous flight and this Hero 5, which is supposed to be better image quality, to try and reinvent themselves and get everything back under control. But like you just said, I purchased a generic action camera for my wife for Christmas because, you know, this last summer at the pool, you know, the stepdaughter was, you know, jumping off the diving board and all kinds of stuff. And my wife had said, I really wish we had a camera that we could use in the pool. And so I looked around and, you know, they had the GoPros and they were hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And then I found this action camera. It looks just like a GoPro. It comes with a case just like a GoPro. The only thing I could really find different, and it had all the, you know, great ratings, you know, 4 and 5 star reviews. It doesn't have the built-in Wi-Fi, although they had a model that's a little bit more that does that. And it was a fraction of the price. And
sure,
you know, it shoots 1080p, I think 60 frames a second, maybe 100 frames a second. But I mean, it was nice. It's a nice little camera.
That's cool.
And I had actually heard Adam Savage talk about the last couple of seasons of MythBusters. They were heavily using GoPros for all of their remote shots. And the last 2 or 3 seasons, they switched to Blackmagic cameras because they're basically GoPros with interchangeable lenses. And you know, they said they were getting much better picture quality. So GoPro is getting squeezed at both ends. They've got, you know, the cheap Chinese clones that you can literally get for like $45 that, you know, come with waterproof housing and will, you know, film your dumb antics. And then at the high end, you've got people switching to these, you know, Blackmagics and whatnot. Sure. That are still tiny little fairly indestructible cameras, but they're given, you know, more of a filmic picture quality. And like you said, GoPro just has not innovated. And I, frankly, you know, is it too little too late? I don't know.
I don't see GoPro long for this world.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, a little bit. Absolutely.
Blah, 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 blah.
Easy for me to say.
Yeah. That's
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely sad. Like I said, I don't like to see anyone fail, but unfortunately, they're just not, you know, they aren't offering anything special.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I don't know. They've got to either compete on price or have something that nobody else offers, and I don't see it coming. So it'd be curious to see where it goes with that. I mean, 4K, but even your toaster shoots 4K these days. Everything has it.
How'd you know I got a new toaster?
It was because it's streaming 4K video on the internet. That toast has never looked more real and crisp. It's amazing.
Well, Jacob,
I think we should probably start wrapping it up.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Jeff, on this sexiest of episodes, why don't you tell me, what it is you love. Let me get real close into the microphone.
Well, here, I will. So I had to do this only because you put yours in first. And if I don't say this, then it makes me look like a huge tool. But I'll still go with my wife. And, you know, we've actually been together for over 24 years.
That's impressive.
If you count the time that we were engaged / dating. So that's a long time.
It is. Like one more year and you're an antique as a car.
Yeah, kudos to her for putting up with me. I did warn her that part of my weight loss plan is to trade up to a newer and younger model, but she doesn't think that I'm gonna find anyone that'll put up with me. So she thinks she's safe. She's probably
correct in that. Lady. And I want to point out that your comment about losing weight to find a newer, younger model a couple of weeks ago got me in trouble. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Just want to throw that one out there.
Hey, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry. Not sorry.
Oh Lord, no! I swear I love you, sweetie. And as Jeff
said,
that's
not what he says when we're not recording. We're recording. Now, what do you love, Jacob?
I never turn the microphone off. So as Jeff said, I guilted him because last year what I loved was my girlfriend, and this year it's my wife. And I hope to God that the two of them never meet each other, because that makes things so much better. But seriously, I mean, you know, it was a big year for me last year. I had a lot of awesome things happen. I got to marry my best friend. You know, I got to change my life, and you know,
Mary? What?
my best friend's with breastises.
Oh, sorry. Well, I had those too.
Wait. Darn it.
You could have to narrow it down more.
my best friend with the downstairs innie.
How
about there? She's probably loving this right now. It's the sweetest Valentine's Day ever, honey. But no, I mean, I know that we're still in the honeymoon phase and all that fun stuff, but it's been awesome. So I love you, baby. Thank you for putting up with my shenanigans and for, not killing me as this project has drug on, and for just being an awesome person. So happy Valentine's Day. I love you. And that is what I love. And I promise I will be back with some just crass consumerist stuff next week, because I got a couple of cool things to talk about. So
me too.
Throw that lovey-dovey crap right out the window and talk about stuff, the good kind of stuff.
That's right, Merca.
So I think that this is a good point to wrap it up and to say goodbye and all that fun stuff. Hey, if you have a question, a comment, a rant, want to tell us anything that you think that we got wrong, which is probably a good 5/4 of this show, we would love to hear from you. And you can call us, as always, on our call-in comment line. That number is 317-643-1212. You can visit our website, nobettershow.com. You can go over to Twitter and tweet at us. We always love that. And we are on Twitter at No Better Show. We would love to have an email from you. We read them all. If yours is interesting, we'll read it on the air.
We've got a tweet mid-show today.
Ooh, a mid-show tweet.
We got a mid-show tweet.
I did not. Is it worthy of reading on the air? Like, just call them out right now.
It's one of our patrons with the stupid goggles like you had.
That makes it all worthwhile.
Saying that they want to be just like you when they grow up.
This
makes me feel sad for Kai.
That is quite... He has the exact same goggles, and he's wearing a No Better shirt. Kai, you are awesome.
He needs to set his sights a little higher and want to be just like me.
Well, you've got digital calipers too, so come on. You're one of us. One of us. One of us. Somebody send Jeff a pair of goggles. Seriously, come on.
No, please. Please don't.
He needs dorkulators bad.
No, I really, really, really don't. Hey, can I just say real quick?
Yeah.
Because, you know, what I love next week is probably going to be Deadpool. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, probably. I will make it a point to see it, even if it means that I don't spend any time on Valentine's Day with my wife.
Well, that's the way God intended it.
Something like that. if you have ideas for the show, notes that you think that we would like to hear, stories that you come across that you find interesting, send them to us, because we're actually starting to get a handful of them from you guys, and we are putting them in. We don't always credit you, but if you heard a story that you submitted, you know who you are, so thank you. And you can email us at feedback@nobettershow. We, like I said, we read them all, and we will put it on the air. If you like the show, please tell everybody about us. Go on iTunes, yada, yada, yada. Leave us a review. Give us a star. That helps us continue to grow our audience. We really appreciate it. If you want to throw us a couple of shekels on Patreon, we would love that, too. I don't think that I thanked all of our other patrons, although we called out Kai, so thank you for the tweet, Kai. In addition, thank you, Carl, Dennis, Jamie, Jeffrey, Jimmy, John, Scott, and Todd. We really appreciate your support. We will be back next week with a much less sexy show because it won't be Valentine's Day anymore. It'll be like Deadpool spoiler cast because I'm sure we'll be so excited to talk about it. We just can't wait. So go out and see it this weekend. I'm just going to put it out there right now. You have just listened to the Know Better Than Average podcast, so hopefully now you know better than average too. Have a great Fat Tuesday, a New Hampshire primary, a Valentine's Day, all that good stuff. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
The Know Better Than Average podcast is a proud member of the Geek News Central Network. Like Know Better Than Average? Check out the other great shows on the network. The Elder Divide, The Gadget Professor, Geek News Central, Health Tech Weekly, and The New Media Show. You can find our show and all these great shows through our website, knowbettershow.com, or at geeknewscentral.com. If it's geek, we've got it. Jeff and I both know we have the most awesome fans on the whole internet. And awesome fans join the Know Better newsletter. It's free, it's fast, and we promise we will not abuse your information. Plus, you'll get the latest info on the show, drawings and giveaways, and cool announcements. Join today at knowbettershow.com/join. What are you waiting for? knowbettershow.com/join.